It was just last week that Pastor Norman spoke to us about how it is that God's grace has been extended towards us as human beings. Because God has sent His Son Jesus to become sin for us, we no longer are guilty of violating God's law. How many of you knew that? That's a good sign. It is still, however, up to us whether to accept God's free gift. It's still up to us. Just want to make sure people are awake out there. And I love the verses that Pastor Norm left us with last week from Titus. Let's read them again once for ourselves as a reminder. Okay, so this comes from Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14, and the verses are up here as well. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all the wickedness and to purify for Himself a people that are His very own, eager to do what is good. Imagine that, eager to do what is good. Now those are some pretty heavy words for us to absorb, aren't they? God's grace, it teaches us to say no to ungodly worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. The grace of God. Wow. Those are some pretty high expectations of somebody who wasn't born perfect. You know, it's even harder to do. And when you're very passionate about your hockey, it certainly is hard to live a holy life when you are passionate about your hockey. Okay. Thank you. Last week, we learned the following. Number one, the grace of God has been extended to all men, and the grace of God brings us salvation. Number three, the grace of God teaches us to say no. Well, this morning I want to explore a few thoughts together on an important question to ask ourselves. And I feel like I'm preaching to myself here. I mean, we've said that a few times, but this is also true of my life. How exactly do I go about saying yes to doing God's will for my life? Well, in order to answer that particular question, the truth is we must be willing to submit ourselves to His will for our lives. Next, let's ask the question together, how do I go about accomplishing God's will for my life? And then while answering that question, we need to think about another question. We must be also willing to know how to tune into how God leads us along the way and what His will is for our lives. Did you catch that? It's one of those nice three-point talks this morning. Well, let's start by answering the first question together. What exactly is the will of God for my life anyway? Well, the simple answer is this. I don't know exactly what His drawn-out plan for you is. I don't know. But let's explore the things in Scripture together that we do know. And here's one of those things that we do know. We were created in His own image. Genesis 1, verses 26 to 27 reads like this. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our own image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the air, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. Now what does that exactly mean anyway? We were created in God's image. Well, much like a mirror reflects our own image, how many of you spend time in the mirror in the mornings? Come on, admit it. Okay, I do too. Okay, much like that mirror reflects our very own image, we were created to mirror God's own image in our lives. A question that somebody might ask is, do we reflect the physical appearance of God? Well, I don't know how many of you listen to the pop charts, but quite a few years ago, there was a song that asked that question, "What if God was one of us?" Can you imagine God walking among us in His physical presence today, and what would He look like You know, what kinds of things would he say? What would he do? Believe it or not, we are indeed his offspring. You go back far enough, your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great times a thousand grandparents were Adam and Eve. If you go far back enough in history. When we are someone's children, we take on their physical characteristics, much like this picture here. Sorry, Jordan, I had to do that. Now, we know that God is a holy God. That must mean that being created in his image means that we take on the characteristics that God has. God is a holy God. He's a just God. Therefore, being created in his image means that he intends for us to also be holy. That's right. Someone once wrote these words. Behind our lives, the weaver stands and works his wondrous will. We leave it in his all-wise hands and trust his perfect skill. Deep down inside, I believe that all of us are hardwired with a desire to walk with God. Now, I'm going to prove that in a second. In Genesis 3, we see some verses that said that we were meant to walk with God daily. Let's look at these verses together in Genesis chapter 3. The words should be up here as well. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Notice that God was walking in the garden with Adam and Eve. Did you catch that? And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." You know, there's something neat in those verses, too. They also suggest that when sin come into the picture, our natural tendency is to do what? To hide from God. But notice that God continued to seek Adam and Eve after the fact that they deliberately disobeyed God. This, to me, speaks about God's love for us. He continues to seek after us, even if we go and hide ourselves from God's will and his purpose for our lives. So what else do we know about his will for us? What else do we know? Well, the Bible speaks to us about three individuals in particular whom God had in mind to be his spokesperson. From birth, he set apart Isaiah. You see him referring to that in Isaiah 49, verse 1. Jeremiah 1, 5, beautiful verse to read sometime. And the Apostle Paul. Paul even speaks about being set apart for him in Galatians 1, 15. And all three had a very specific purpose in mind. He also has a specific plan for you. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. And I know that Pauline knows this verse very well. Pauline, would you mind? Again, I say it. God has an intended purpose for your life. Did you know that? God has an intended purpose for your life. Now, Jesus told a parable about the sheep following their shepherd when he finally announces to those listening that he is indeed the good shepherd. That story is found in John 10, particularly verse 11, where he refers to himself as the good shepherd. But the verse before it reveals Jesus' purpose in coming to the earth in the first place, which is, and the second half of that verse says, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Now, what does that mean, have it to the full, full life? Well, that's a life that's filled with living for the Lord. It is intended purpose of fellowship with him and walking in his ways. It is an intention, just like in the Garden of Eden, where God walked with Adam and God walked with Eve in the garden. He wants to walk with us today. But again, the very first thing that I said this morning is that we have the freedom to know whether or not that we will allow God to do this in our lives, for us to have fellowship with him. Just how well does God know us anyway? Well, he's a sovereign God. I love the words found in Psalm 139, and I wish we had time to read the whole psalm this morning, but you know what? I want you to do it when you go home. Trust me, it's a beautiful psalm. Psalm 139, and I'm going to pull out some selected verses here. It goes like this. "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know, when I sit down and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going and my laying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. There we go. Reminder once again to watch your mouth, because the Lord knows what's coming out. That's for me as well. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day. For darkness is as light to you, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. What an assurance David had there, hey? What's his response to all of this? David continues on a little bit later in that psalm. He says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." So what are we left to conclude? He knows us better than we know ourselves. That's God. That's the God we serve. The Bible says and reminds us that God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect. That's Romans chapter 12, verse 2. You'll see it there. But above all else, God's will, first and foremost, is that we have relationship with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. That's found in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. So God intends fellowship with us, and He intends for your lives to have a relationship with Jesus. And in such, having the relationship with Jesus brings us to the Father. Now we've explored what it is that we know about the will of God for our lives, and now realize that we are specifically created with a purpose in mind. Even knowing all this, I have struggled with knowing God's will from time to time. And that's true. Throughout my college years, I figured, oh Lord, why am I here? And I said it quite like that too. Lord, why am I here? You know, I asked the usual questions that anybody else on this planet has asked over a period of time. What am I here for? What's my purpose in life? What am I going to do with the rest of my life? Those types of questions. And they're hard questions to answer. They certainly are. Now, did you know that not everyone has the same talents or abilities as you have? Did you know that? Even within a church setting, we all have different talents, abilities, and giftings. These are Paul's reminders in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He writes this. Now you are the body of Christ. You're all in the body of Christ, and each of you has a part of it. God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of all kinds of different tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do they all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. Well, I want to show you this. I don't know if you can read it. It says, after Clarence's choir debut, his other spiritual gifts were quickly discovered. There you go. Not all of us were meant to be on the music team. Keep that in mind, but the Lord uses the praises from our hearts. Humans are born with free will. Did you know that? We can make choices. We have an ability to choose for ourselves many different options. One of them being whether to accept God's free gift of grace. And sometimes, even in the career choices we make, God leaves it up to us. Did I know I was going to be a pastor? I probably would have laughed at the 30, 40, 50, 60 people that said, oh, you should preach someday. I think I laughed at them. You see, Paul himself knew that he had certain freedoms to choose. He was careful in making his choices, though. He writes in 1 Corinthians 10:23, I have the right to do anything, you say, but everything is not beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. In other words, it is possible that we can make choices that will completely send us in a whole different direction. from far from what God's will is for our lives. Case in point, Jonah. Jonah was told to go where? Told to go to Nineveh. Where'd he go? I'm glad you remembered. Anywhere else but Nineveh, Lord. Anywhere else. I'll go to Newfoundland, but not Nineveh. Well, it's just as far away from Whitehorse as far as he ran away from God's will, I'm sure. But the truth is that God has a way to bring us right back on track, even if we decide that we don't want to do the will of the Lord. I want to read these words to you. This is a neat story. A man was being chased by a tiger. He ran as hard as he could until what he saw was the edge of a cliff, with the tiger in hot pursuit still. The man looked over the edge of the cliff and saw a branch growing out of the side of the cliff a few feet down. He jumped down and he grabbed the branch just as the tiger reached the cliff. The tiger growled viciously and the man sighed with a great sigh of relief. Just then a mouse came out from a crevice and began to chew on the branch. The man looked down to see what a drop of 1,000 feet, and sure death, he began to look to the heavens and yelled out, "Dear God, if you're up there, please help. I will do anything you ask, but please help." Suddenly a voice came booming from the heavens. "You will do anything I ask?" it questioned. Well, the man was shocked to hear the reply from his plea, but he yelled back, "I will gladly do anything you ask, but please save me." The voice from heaven then replied, "There is one way to save you, but it will take courage and faith." The branch began to weaken and the tiger was growling with just a few feet above the man. "Please, Lord, help me do what I must do, and I will do it. Your will is my will." The voice from heaven then said, "All right, then. Just let go of the branch." The man looked down to a fall of 1,000 feet in certain death. He looked up at the hungry tiger a few feet above and away from him, and he looked at the mouse still chewing on the branch. And he looked up to the heavens one more time and yelled, "Is there anyone else up there?" The bottom line is this: it is possible to glorify the Lord wherever we decide for our careers to go, as well as within the church setting. The Lord can use you anywhere you go. There is no doubt in my mind. Wherever we go, we are encouraged to do, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 and 14. He says, "Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, but above all, do everything in love." Do everything in love, no matter where you go. Even in the way that employers have to talk to employees, do everything in love. One final question that I have for you this morning. How do I know how to tune into God's will for me anyway? Well, that's a good question too. The most obvious starting point for me is learning more about God's letter to us. I'm referring to the Bible itself. If we want to get to know someone, we spend a little more time with them. How many of you have ever been dating? Okay, one or two people have been dating. I don't know how everybody else got rings on their fingers, but one or two people have been dating. Okay. Now, how did you get to know your future wife or future husband? You did what? You spent time with them. I don't know how much Heather and I actually slept in college. I'm vaguely remembering a few hours here and there. But I tell you, I was the most excited person in the world to know my wife. Well, then, not my wife, but to spend time with Heather. I just couldn't stand to be away from her. Almost 13 years later, I'm sure that's kind of reversed sometimes for her. I don't know. Anyway, but in order to get to know somebody, you spend time with them. And God wants us to spend time with Him through His Word. That's how. We already know that the Bible is God's Word. As Psalm 119, verse 105 puts it, "It's a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." Our caravans kids say that every week. We also know that His Word is a great place to receive instruction for our lives. This one is an important scripture, so I put it up here in front for you to see. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, 17, and And following there, it says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that we, the servant of God, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Again, knowing God's will for our lives starts with knowing His Word. Remember that as Christians, we need to do what? We need to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what we need to do. To Him be glory both now and forever. That's what Peter says. And secondly, we must spend time in fellowship with God through... How do we spend time with God? What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. We just sang that. Sometimes we need to just ask God to give us wisdom to discern what His will is for our lives. James 1:5 says that if any of you lacks in wisdom, that's me some days, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Wow. Ask and you shall receive. That's what Jesus said too, right? Knock and the door will be open unto you. In Philippians 4:6, God tells us that we can pray about everything. Yes, you can pray even when you stub your toe. You can pray about everything. Spending time in conversation with God is a way to communicate with Him about what His will is for our lives. And thirdly, I want to suggest that if you really need advice in seeking God's will for your life, we need to seek the advice of other godly believers, someone that you trust. Many times the advice of a parent, a pastor, a youth pastor, Sunday school teacher, or other mature person is just what we need to hear to help us decide what God's will is for our lives. I like these verses from Proverbs. Proverbs 12, verse 15 says, the way of the fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. And again, Proverbs 15:22, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Sometimes it helps to get a second opinion, doesn't it? In addition to living or to godly advice from others, as Christians, God has given us one more tool for guidance, and that is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guides us each day. When He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. That's John 16, verse 13, Jesus' words. How do we know that the choices we make fall in line with God's will for our lives? The Bible says that there is a peace that comes when we are pleasing God with our lives. Isaiah wrote, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Sometimes we don't know what God's plan is for our lives, our specific purpose. And sometimes God has our wills or our lives interacting with other people's lives. And sometimes the simple prayer is just, Lord, use me where you can, when you can, as often as you can, and equip me with the gift of knowing what it is that you would have for me and for my life. Someone once said, when deciding between two alternatives that you have been praying about, sometimes one of the options will give you a greater peace. And that's probably the option that God's will is for your life. The Bible says, again, Isaiah writes, the fruit of righteousness will be peace. The effect of righteousness will be quietness and confidence forever. Chapter 32, verse 17. So now let's sum up this morning's few thoughts here. We certainly should trust God in faith that He will accomplish His will in our lives. What does Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 say? I think Jordan might know this one. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, that's good. Did you hear that? We teach our caravan kids well, don't we? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Imagine that. Being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That's Philippians 1:6. John Wesley once wrote, and I have these words in my office. It's kind of like a motivational plaque, almost. Do all the good you can in all the ways you can. To all the souls you can, in every place you can, at all the times you can, with all the zeal you can, as long as you can. That's what John Wesley wrote. In addition, as Christians, our ultimate example of submitting to the will of the Father is found through Jesus himself. Let's look at Luke 22. We see at the Mount of Olives, we read about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed these words to his Father. Scripture says, on reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fail or fall into temptation. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt and prayed, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. And an angel came to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Okay. Jesus knew he had a tough road ahead. He did. He knew what was coming that very, in a matter of an hour or so, he knew that people were coming to arrest him and take him to be crucified. Knowing that the way of the Lord was tough, sometimes in life, we simply pray, thy will be changed, rather than thy will be done. And it's Kent Crockett that said, pride says to itself, my will be done. But humility says to God, thy will be done. One more final thought for you to share. You see, and this is more of a victorious thought to end with. Once you are obeying God's will, Romans 8, I love these words, verses 38 and 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that wonderful words to end with? Isn't that great? You're following God's will. You are securely following his plan for your life. And then I leave you with these words. Absolutely nothing can come between you and God to separate you if you're firmly placed in his hand. Driving down the Alaska Highway, you see a whole pile of signs. And you know what your destination is when you're driving. What happens if you take your eyes off the road as you drive? Sometimes you could take a wrong turn. Or sometimes our buffalo friends might greet you. Okay? You take your eyes off the Lord, you're going to end up like Simon Peter and sinking in that water. You keep your eyes on the Lord, then there ain't anything that will come between you and him that will separate you from his plan for your lives. Now, this is a sermon that I preach to myself at least 15, 20 times in my lifetime after studying God's word and knowing all these promises for me. It's still something that you daily struggle with. Every decision, consult the Lord. Don't go without consulting him. Sometimes we fall flat on our face when we do. But if you go in his presence and you go and you seek the will of the Lord for your life and you have that peace, chances are, as Scripture says, you're following the way of the Lord. Let's pray together. Let's bow in prayer. Father God, this morning we come before you with boldness because we now know that walking with you means there ain't anything that can come between us. Satan has no grip on our lives if we do not allow him to. But once again, there is that ugly cloud that hangs over humanity called sin. And I just pray, Lord, that in our hearts, you'll begin to work in us so that we may see you, to see you high and lifted up, exalted. Lord Jesus, we confess you as our Savior. We believe that we are sinners. We believe that we need you. We believe we've done wrong. And we know that we deserve death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but it goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal or everlasting life. We thank you for those promises this morning, And as we spend these moments, Lord, to think about what your word was to us this morning and what you had to say, I pray that we will always continually to earnestly seek your face. And we will not go in our own strength, but in the strength that you give us. In Jesus' name, amen.